ओम ज्ञानच निरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः.
Although no one in the material world is equal to or greater than Lord Shiva, and although his unimpeachable character is followed by great souls to dismantle the mass of nescience, he nevertheless remains as if a devil to give salvation to all devotees of the Lord. Purport: Lord Shiva's uncivilized, devilish characteristics are never abominable because he teaches the sincere devotees of the Lord how to practice detachment from material enjoyment. He is called Mahadeva, or the greatest of all demigods, and no one is equal to or greater than him in the material world. He is almost equal with Lord Vishnu. Although he always associates with Maya, Durga, he is above the reactionary stage of the three modes of material nature, and although he is in charge of devilish characters in the mode of ignorance, he is not affected by such association. We find several places in Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Shiva is glorified. Also, of course, Sati ritual, the history of Sati, is recorded in the fourth canto, in which he's also glorified. And we find actually throughout the Vedic literatures that Lord Shiva is glorified. And he's glorified to such an extent that it may be very difficult to understand who is the supreme, because in some places Vishnu is described as supreme, and in other places Lord Shiva is described as supreme, and in some places Lord Shiva worships Lord Vishnu, and in some places we find in Mahabharata that Lord Krishna performed austerities to supplicate Lord Shiva so that he could have a son, which he did, Pradyumna, his first son. So the Shaivites and the Vaishnavas will bring out different pramans from Shastra to show who is supreme, and of course it's very famous that Lord Ram worship Lord Shiva because he was about to attack Lord Shiva's great devotee, apparently a devotee, not really a devotee, but devotee means one who is anyabhilashita shunya ka jnanakamadhyanavrita anukulyena krishna vishivanam bhakti. Really, the word bhakti, as Prabhupada has analyzed in that purport, sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Really, the real devotee is bhakti, bhakta. Bhakta means devotee. So real bhakta is one bhaja. The word comes from the bhaj, bhakti and bhaj root. So this worship, that this term is only actually applicable in relationship with Lord Vishnu. And really bhakti, we talk about the terms are there, Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti. But if bhakti is mishrit, if it's mixed, it's not really bhakti at all. Real bhakti means without any desire. So when we say that Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva, we can say so in a conventional manner, but not in a very strict manner, not in the real sense of the term. So anyway, that story is there, that's well known, how Lord Ram is said to have worshipped Lord Shiva at Rameshwar before setting out for Lanka to kill the great devotee of Lord Shiva named Ravana. Of course, that story we don't find in the Valmiki Ramayana, but that is cited, is all over India, that's cited as evidence that Ram is actually inferior to Shiva. This is cited by the Shaivites. That, see, he's worshipping him, therefore he must be inferior. But but this has to be understood very carefully, because Lord Krishna himself states that we'll find in various places in Shastra, specifically in this third canto of Bhagavatam, where Lord Kapiladev, who is Krishna, is speaking that worship of my, he establishes, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore worship of myself is the highest worship. But then he goes on to say that those who worship me, they're even more worshipable. And that even I worship my own devotees. And Lord Shiva himself, when he was asked by Devi, his wife, that, well, I mean, there's a, she herself was expressing some bewilderment. There's so many different forms of worship. So which is the best? So many different gods. Some people are worshipping you, people are worshipping me. They're worshipping Vishnu, they're worshipping Lakshmi. And the famous reply of Lord Shiva is, someone can say? No, you don't say, I know you're not. If you wrote that book, who is the Supreme, you should know that. So what is Lord Shiva's reply? That's also somewhat useful in this regard, because Lord Shiva also says that I take pleasure in the names of Lord Ram. That's also a useful quote, but there's a specific quote. If you don't know this, then what are you doing here? You're supposed to be preaching. It's a vital quote. Aradhananam. Someone else can say no? Anyone can say? Okay, there's a task for you all today. Write down this verse and learn it. Very important verse. Please say it.
Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadyanam samacham.
This means that Lord Shiva replied that of all the forms of worship, the worship of Vishnu is supreme. That is intrinsically the supreme, yet there is something even better, which is to worship that which is in relationship to Lord Vishnu, namely his devotees. But worship of Krishna's devotees is considered superior to Vishnu, not because they are intrinsically superior to Vishnu, but because they have a relationship with him. He is the supreme. It's not that the devotees are the supreme. Krishna himself considers worship of my devotees more. Then we can see who is really Krishna's devotee. If someone's worshipping Krishna, they may be doing with an ulterior motive. What can I get? Because he is supreme. But from the devotee, from Krishna, you can get dhanam, janam, sundari, all these things. Wealth, followers, beautiful wife, so many things. But the devotees, they may have the power to give such blessings, but they don't give such blessings. They don't, generally devotees, they don't exhibit such mystic opulences as giving blessings, unless they're preaching among extremely foolish people like Lord Jesus Christ. He performs some miracles, bringing people back from the dead, turning water into wine, and a few things like that. So then people had faith in him. Otherwise, they're so dull-headed. Even his very, very simple and basic message, no one was going to listen, unless he showed some mystic powers. But generally, Vaishnavas, they don't. They may do, but it's not that they're going around performing magic tricks. Anyway, in India, there are already so many people doing magic tricks, so many yogis. So, devotee doesn't try to impress people with such tricks. But he gives Krishna bhakti, which is the greatest gift. So, people of sense gratificatory tendency, they may approach Lord Vishnu, understanding he is supreme. or understanding that he's very powerful. But they won't approach the devotee, because the devotee will tell them, give up all your material attachments and simply do as Lord Vishnu wants. And they go, I don't want to do as Lord Vishnu wants. He should do what I want. That's why I'm worshipping him. I'm approaching him for dhan jan sundari. He should give me. Why are you asking? If I have to do what he says, then I become his slave. That's right. But they don't want. So this kind of neophyte devotee, that I will worship the Lord in the way that I think best, because I am the center of the universe. I know better. I don't need to be instructed by anyone, because I already have a direct relationship with the Lord. I'm such a great devotee. So this is not accepted as devotion by Krishna, because he doesn't accept devotion unless it goes through his devotee. So anyway, I was saying there's a great controversy which goes on, and about who is supreme, especially who is supreme, Vishnu or Shiva. Generally the discussion goes on this topic, and more recently, it's become a very popular theory that why are we all arguing? Just accept all the gods are the same. There are 30 Tetrishkoti, 33 crore demigods, and gods or demigods, and we can invent a few more or have some more new ones just for the modern age, and it's all the same. So there's not much controversy. This Ramakrishna, so-called Paramahamsa, he wanted to make harmony in Hindu society. Why are you all fighting? It's all the same. So everyone came to thinking it's all the same, and all came down to the lowest level. If we try to accommodate everybody, then we come down to the lowest level. Because everything, if we accommodate everybody at whatever stage they may be at, then we come down to the lowest level. So actually, by deliberation from Shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam, topmost Purana, written by sage Vyasadeva in his maturity, Srimad Bhagavatam Mahamuni Kriti, and that is specifically Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam Yad Vaishnava, that Dharma Projita Kaitava Atra Parama Niyamat Saranam Sita Vedyam Vastava. This is the actual message of the Vedas. Atra Vastu Shivadam Tapatrayan Mulanam. This is the Purana in which there's no cheating, there's no misdirecting. It is meant for the non-envious. It is all auspicious. It uproots the threefold miseries of material life. So Srimad Bhagavatam very clearly establishes that Krishna is supreme. Even we'll find in Mahabharata where, yes, sometimes Shiva prays to Lord Krishna, sometimes Krishna prays to Lord Shiva, and sometimes they both say that we are the same. Anyone who distinguishes between us is an offender. So this is wonderful for the Mayavadis, they love all this kind of thing, but we should understand how Lord Shiva is non-different from Lord Vishnu, and how he is different. If we simply stress non-difference, then we don't understand the whole picture. At the end of Mahabharata, then that stated, just to put everything in proper perspective. Although we find the great in Mahabharata, we find the great authority, Bhishma, as well as others, very clearly establishing that Lord Krishna is the supreme, even above all the demigods, even above Lord Shiva. So at the end of Mahabharata, we have Vede Ramayana Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adav Ante Jamadhya Cha Hari Sarvatra Kirti. And in all the Vedic literatures, beginning, middle, and end, Veda, Ramayana, Puranas, Mahabharata, and so on, the only object is glorification of Lord Hari. So, Lord Shiva, his position is very special. It's not that he's to be misunderstood or misconceived because of his devilish characteristics, as Prabhupada writes. His behavior and appearance is not like that of a standard Vaishnava. We do not encourage any of you to put ashes all over your body and have snakes around and go naked or any such thing. Only on some conditions we can allow. If you can hold the Ganga as she comes down from the heavenly planets and break the force of her flow, then we could possibly consider such a thing. Otherwise not. But you can't do it, because we are not much. He is powerful, we are not so powerful. If we could swallow poison that's capable of destroying the whole universe, and ourselves not remain poisoned, then you dress as Lord Shiva, put on ashes from the crematorium, and so on. Otherwise not. So you may say, well, he's a Vaishnava and he's doing like that. Two questions arise. One is, why is he doing that if he's a Vaishnava? Another thing is, if he's a Vaishnava, then why can't other Vaishnavas? Why is he doing that if he's a Vaishnava? Because, as you're saying, we can't bring everyone into the same category, otherwise we go down to them. Everything comes down to the lowest common denominator. We find that. In an ashram, if we think, well, we'll just allow anyone to join who wants to join, then it'll be with no standards. You just, anyone do whatever they like, get up whenever they like, do whatever they like without following the temple authorities. Then we'll fill up with all useless people. No one will follow the temple authorities. They say, no, I know, I'll do everything in my own way. So then everyone else will say, oh, okay, then I'll also do. And then it'll be chaos. Or this person, he's a devotee, so we shall have him in the ashram, but he just has a small problem. He can't get up before 10 o'clock every morning. But he's a devotee. So if we allow, then everyone else will think, all right, if that's allowed, then I can also do. So everything comes down to the lowest standard. So the ashram must be very strict, and Vaishnavas must be strict. Asat sangati agi Vaishnava achara. First characteristic of a Vaishnava is he gives up bad association, because a Vaishnava has to live according to the rules of Vaishnavism. If he associates with non-devotees, they're always doing things which are not conducive to Krishna consciousness. So it's very difficult to follow. So we should give up such association. But
But then we may think that, well, how can those who are on a lower level, how can they be purified and uplifted? Isn't it more merciful if the devotees just mix up with everybody? So certainly devotees, they do mingle with human society for the sake of uplifting them. But at the same time, they have to maintain some difference. They don't simply become part of broader society. Sometimes people will accept us better if we're more normal. If we watch TV and when we go to their homes, they give us some biscuits and we don't even look at the packet to see whether it's vegetarian or not. Just, they'll feel happier if we take it. So they'll feel happier and they'll accept us as normal, and we'll be normal, which means not Krishna conscious. So instead of us uplifting them, say, well, they'll accept us more. But they should accept us on their level. We want people to accept us, but on our level, not on the level that they impose on us. So simply if they accept us, it's simply to be accepted by society, that is not necessarily conducive for preaching. They should accept devotees as devotees. If devotees become non-devotees, then they simply become accepted as another pig, dog, cat in human form. But what is the benefit of that? So devotees, they are different and they have to maintain their difference. What about how to uplift the fallen? So that is specifically Lord Shiva's job, to look after the most fallen. He can do it, others cannot do. Others cannot do as he is doing to God. There are mantras that may be chanted. Remembrance of Lord Hari, chanting the names of Hari, to get free from just as someone, even maybe if they're a devotee, they may be attacked by ghostly spirits. So there are mantras that one can chant to Lord Hari that these devilish influences will go away. But Lord Shiva, he doesn't chant mantras for them to go away, he lives among them. This Pishacha, Preta, Bhuta, Yin, all these very devilish species. It's very frightening. They have horror movies. People get some kind of pleasure from watching a horror movie. It's a kind of strange pleasure. But a movie is one thing. And then if you ask them, well, actually, do you want to... You'll put some ghostly influence on you? No, certainly not. Ghostly influence is very powerful. We find that someone can become completely possessed by a ghost, so they'll attack their parents and try to kill them. They'll talk in a different voice. That's why devotees, they don't have anything to do with this kind of seance or clairvoyance or any such thing. Certainly, one may get in contact. Channeling, that's another thing. One may be able to get in contact with beings on a subtle level, but it's very disturbing. We may think, sometimes they may pose as... They may say, someone may come and say, well, actually, I'm your mother who passed away 20 years ago. I'm giving you this, and speaks in her voice. But it's all just a fraud. The ghost is cheating you. Even some ghosts, they heal people. There's healing by ghosts. But you'll find that always they want something. They don't do it for free. They want to get in your mind. They want to take over, they want to influence. So we should be very careful of ghosts. I have nothing to do with ghosts. No, devotees have nothing to do with such tantric measures or any such things. This is not our field. We avoid. If there are ghosts, chant Hare Krishna. Have a big kirtan. Powerful kirtan. Nothing else. But Lord Shiva, he has taken the duty of living among such ghostly beings for the sake of uplifting them. On some level, on any level, if they have some attachment to him, because he is a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, they will get benefit from it. Very difficult to uplift such ghostly beings. We're finding it's very difficult to uplift even persons who are in regular human bodies, who are supposed to be the most eligible candidates for spiritual life in the whole universe. This earth planet gives a better opportunity for uplift than Brahma Loka, Mahaloka, Tapaloka, Janaloka, Swargaloka, the upper planetary system. But we're finding that it's very difficult to uplift such people, to get them to take to Krishna consciousness seriously. Then what about those who are in ghostly form? It's very difficult to uplift them. That is the task of Lord Shiva, to tolerate such intolerable beings and somehow work towards affecting their uplift. So Lord Shiva's position is unique. It is not to be imitated. It is neither to be imitated nor to be disparaged. You should understand his greatness and offer all respects to Lord Shiva. Vaishnavan Yathar Shambhu, the greatest Vaishnava, Lord Shiva, for undertaking this work of uplifting the fallen souls. Paramarayadhanam Tandir Kumashasakilana. How's that verse begin? Tapyante Lokatapena Prayasho. I'm forgetting two words. Prayasho Janaha Paramaradhanam Tandik Purushasyakilaha. Lord Shiva himself states that to accept all difficulties for the sake of uplifting fallen souls, that is generally seen as the general characteristic of great personalities. There is no better method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead than this. So Lord Shiva lives by that dictum which he himself spoke. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Jivangari Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Say in English so others can understand. Say loudly.
Why Jiva gets the body of a ghost?
Can you answer? Alright, Alex. Because of highly sinful activities, especially if one is very sinful, or if one dies a violent death, or by suicide, he is liable to become a ghost. Or if one is very attached to a place, one may remain remain in it as a ghost. And one has to be very sinful to do so. And also if one worships ghosts, bhutani yanti bhuteja, if one worships ghosts, then he becomes a ghost also. So anyway, you're not going to become a ghost, you don't worry. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I've never heard such a thing, although it may be possible, that Krishna may not be satisfied to stay. And if we're in ghostly consciousness, then Krishna may leave as a ghost.
Speaking about Jain.
I never heard the book could enter, the whole form should enter. And what else are you saying?
And for prasad, how they are taking that prasad?
And in general, food that's left overnight, it's considered impure, but prasad. Traditionally, in food, nothing will be kept overnight.
No fridge.
No fridge, and it's not kept. Traditionally, it's considered very low class to keep. Cook, offer, distribute. And some may be kept for unexpected visitors, guests, but at night, it isn't finished. That's the system traditionally. And at least the brahmanas, they used to follow that very strictly. When Bon Maharaj joined the Gauriya Mutt, because he was from a Brahmin family, he was shocked to see that there were so many things. One of the things was that they were eating this pandabat, that means they keep the rice cooked the night before in water overnight and take it in the morning. He was shocked. But nevertheless, he stayed, despite so many things which were not according to his brahminical habits. Hare Krishna.